First of all, I'd like to thank Kyle Davis of MPX and a mainstay of the Texas indie wrestling scene for a long time for being my guest today. To give a brief introduction, I'll probably let Kyle do that a little bit more since I was kind of out of the scene for a few years. But he is one of the mainstays of Metroplex Wrestling and is also a very great, very good manager. One of my favorite, most entertaining guys to watch in the Texas indie scene. So, Kyle, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you started into wrestling, and tell us who Kyle Davis is.
Well, first of all, you should get a medal or an award for, giving me live commentary to be able to talk to people. Especially lately, and I don't know if you people know it, but apparently I've been known to have a big mouth. So thank you for giving me this forum. It's probably going to be the first and last time that I have the honor to be a guest. But thank you for the introduction, and I really enjoy what I do with MPX. It's a very special company, a very tight-knit group. We all enjoy what we do, and we have fun with it. I got started in wrestling. I actually started with PCW in 2002, and I was 15 years old. And I saw it on UPN 21, and I decided that, I want to be on that program because they were in Arlington. They were local, and I'm like, it's not unfeasible for me to be a part of this because I always wanted to be a ring announcer, a manager, a commentator. And ironically, I've been able to do all three. I never wanted to be a professional wrestler. I don't have that ability. Little known fact, I was in high school wrestling with Aaron Eagle, who was ended up being one of my good friends. We were on the high school wrestling team together in Arlington. He went on to dominate and do all that great stuff, but it just wasn't cut out for me. I was better with the entertainment and talking aspect. So anyway, I got in contact with the owners of PCW back in 2002. And I asked what could I do to help? What could I do to start to get my foot in the door? I didn't tell them that I wanted to be an announcer one day. I just asked them, what can I do to help? And they let me be event staff, and I got to set up chairs and take tickets and sell popcorn and clean the floors. And I did that for 2 years. And ironically, it wasn't planned. It wasn't planned. I got to commentate my first match on my 18th birthday for PCW. A one-shot deal, just, after intermission, we're going to let you commentate a match, see how it goes. And that's really how it started for me. So,
wow.
Every Friday and Saturday night for 2 years, not once a month, not twice a month, but every Friday and Saturday night, while I was in high school, by the way, I was doing whatever I could to just get a shot. And that's really how it began for me. Very interesting because I've never met anyone else who got in the way I did, and so I think that makes it kind of unique. Not interesting, but unique.
Well, and to give a little bit more color behind the PCW I don't know if you remember this. Being Canadian, you may not have this up there, but there was the show on the Learning Channel that was there for about two episodes called The Bussy Bunch, which was kind of a reality show they did about the family that ran PCW in Arlington. And I know that it was probably more staged than pro wrestling, but that kind of gives a little bit of little color around, the Dallas-Fort Worth indie scene and, who the Bussies were and kind of where Kyle got to start there. So, Kyle, for you, what made you, you mentioned PCW being a big influence for you. What were some of the things that you watched as a kid that made you want to be a wrestler?
Well, admittedly, I didn't start watching professional wrestling consistently until 1996, which, as any wrestling historian will tell you, is probably the most prolific, influential, and important year in all of pro wrestling. I was born in 1986, so I was 9 or 10, and I would watch it with my grandpa, in the early 90s, and I didn't know much about it, but I knew, who Razor Ramon was and Yokozuna, Hulk Hogan, those guys. And I moved away from DFW, and I lived in Austin for a year, and I didn't have any friends. I didn't know anybody. And I started watching Monday Nitro, and I saw Razor Ramon on there, and I'm like, wait a minute, wasn't he with that other place? So, you know, I thought that was interesting, and I thought it was compelling, you know, and I was only 9 or 10 years old. And so that's where I got my first taste of the entertainment aspect, because honestly, and I've never really told anyone this, I'm not really a wrestling fan. Like, Ring of Honor is great and all that, and I appreciate good wrestling, but I love the entertainment. I love the storylines. I want to watch what they're doing. I don't really want to see wrestling just for wrestling. I want there to be an interesting story behind it. And that's big into what I put into the shows that I'm involved with. So my first ever wrestling pay-per-view I bought was Fall Brawl 1996. It was on my birthday. And the storytelling was amazing. And I couldn't tell you what happened in the match, but I love the story aspect of it. So
I know that one like yesterday. That was AA, Ric Flair, Sting, and Luger.
Yes.
Versus the three members of the NWO and what started out as fake Sting, and then regular Sting came in. I remember that match like yesterday.
Absolutely.
It's funny that you mentioned 96, because that was a landmark year in my wrestling watching too. That's when I first started watching wrestling as well, except I was a little older than 9 or 10 there when that happened. So, you know, PCW kind of wound down, and
it stopped right in its tracks.
I was trying to think of a nice way of saying that.
Don't get me wrong, PCW is still around, but it's now known as XKO.
yeah, exactly. And for those listening that may not be familiar with, the Bussy family has now gotten started with promoting MMA.
And it's very successful. They're drawing, and I don't blame them one bit. I hold no hostility with the Bussy family. I mean, we had a meeting with them recently, and great family. They're very smart.
Yeah. So when PCW wound down, went to a screeching halt.
Yes.
You were probably looking around trying to find the next wrestling promotion. What brought you to MPX? What interested you?
Well, you know, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. PCW was just a small part of what I've been doing since. Well, you know, we've been doing shows since we've been on the shows and traveling since 2006. You know, we were doing ACW in Marshall, Texas, and BIW, Bayou Independent Wrestling in Louisiana. We were everywhere. It wasn't just PCW to MPX. There were so many other places around Texas. We did ACW in Austin, San Antonio. We did Gladewater is, you know, that wasn't very good, but you know, FEW and Tyler, there were so many other little places around the state that we worked, while at PCW. You know, we weren't at PCW every week, depending on the time period, IHWE, in Fort Worth. So there were a lot of other places, during and after PCW. But the thing that was lacking was these were just all more or less spot shows. And as soon as they would pop up, they would die again. And MPX it's turned into a place that it's, no matter what you have to say negative about MPX, and everybody has something negative to say about MPX, I have negative stuff to say about MPX, but it's there consistently every single time that it's advertised. And you can't just find that anywhere. And I think more importantly than anything, that is what makes us special.
I agree. So a lot of the spot shows that you would do in between, were you going down there with Genesis and working, or?
Those were our travel. You know, Hayden was always the driver because he refused to let me drive. And you know, we would have Arcane and Tadlock and Frankie and. You know, we had the occasional Danny Saint or James Johnson. So, yeah, we would travel And honestly, I don't know how much of this I can say publicly, but our getting to the shows was the fun. Once we got to the shows, most of the time we wanted to just turn around and go back home because getting there was so much fun. And I have endless amounts of road trip stories. But yeah, I would travel with those guys and amazing stories.
Yeah, we'll get to the YouTube channel that you can plug later on. Sure. We'll definitely give you the chance to plug that. Sure. Now, you know, you can tell me to back off on this one or whatever.
You bring it up. I won't be silent.
What is your current role within MPX? Are you the booker? Are you the creative? Are you part of the creative team? Or, you know, how exactly do you define your role
there? Honestly, I hate the term booker. I think it's and it might just be a stigma, but I think it's a dirty word. I just don't like the term booker. Not that it offends me, but I just don't prefer it. I come up with creative ideas and you just give my input. I mean, it's not just me. I don't even have the final say, but I think I have more influence than other people. And more importantly than that, I have connections, you know, and that's not bragging. It's just true. I've worked around so many people that I have the connections to get, you know, people to come in. Not so much as favors, but I can just, I'm a credible source, I guess would be the best way to put it. I don't call myself a booker. I give ideas and I put things together and, maybe a storyteller or the captain of the ship or something. I don't know, but I just, you know, the puppet master, but I don't consider myself a booker. I just put things together and make sure they fit and try to make the most sense of the, you know, the tools that I'm given.
That's a nice way of putting it.
If I may, you know, and this has been brought up recently, people seem to think that I was brought in off the street randomly to put this MPX show together. You know, what people fail to realize or they don't care to know is that I helped. I did the same thing with PCW, you know, during the Learning Channel fiasco while that was going on. You know, this isn't my first time to just, hey, I want to put together a wrestling show. Let me help MPX. I've been doing this, you know, learning from good people at PCW. You know, I hate to beat the dead horse of PCW, but that's where I learned, you know, most of the tricks and the things that I'm doing. So I just want to get that out in the public right now that I haven't just been doing this for 4 months or whatever. I've learned from a lot of people over the last few years and I'm applying that now. And not everything I do is perfect. And, you know, things happen and I change things at the last minute, but I just wanted to get that out there. Go ahead.
No. That's fine. So what is kind of the vision for MPX? What do you see as the ultimate goal with MPX?
I don't sit back in a chair in a secret laboratory in my basement with beakers and Bunsen burners and formulas and all kinds of contraptions thinking that MPX is going to be the best. MPX is the second coming of world-class wrestling. MPX is going to be the grandfather of everything. I don't even care for MPX to be the best because the best, quote-unquote, is so subjective. It's all about your taste. It's all about the niche audience. And MPX isn't the best. I've seen places better. I've seen places worse. It depends what you like. You can go to MPX on a Saturday night and think it sucks. You can go to another show on Sunday, think it's great. You know, they're two totally different shows, you know, from MPX to any other place. You know, it depends on what you like. So my goal is to keep MPX running for as long as possible. You know, for those of you at our last show, you know, you noticed a lot of cameras, a lot of, you know, lighting upgrades. So,
you know, indeed I did.
You know, so we're always working on something and, you know, we're not going to be that company to promise something and not deliver. All I can say is that if you watch the first MPX show and then watch the last one that we're going to do tonight, you know, not the last, but, you know, the most updated one, most recent, you know, we've come so far, but we're not going to be content and we're not going to, you know, just because we've reached a certain level, you know, we just got to keep going forward, not to be the best, but, you know, just to get some recognition and, you know, I'm not going to demand respect for MPX, but, you know, give us a little bit of credit and, you know, that's all I guess. Just get a little bit more credit, you know?
Okay. And I know that you've been around in the business for a long time. You know, you, I know that you had the really big shot with Jerry Lawler, where you got to take the power bomb from him. I know this, you know, a few years ago. What was it like being able to work with somebody as, you know, incredible and historic as him?
Well, you know, honestly, I'd never heard of Jerry Lawler before that night. No, I'm just kidding. Kidding, of course. Well, actually, I hate to correct you on your own show, but it was a pile driver, not a power bomb. Just for anybody who's listening out there. But yes, I took the pile driver from Jerry Lawler, and it was, come on, it's Jerry the King Lawler. Are you kidding? He's the most top. If he's not in your top 10 of all time favorite wrestlers, the most famous wrestlers, you know, you're out of your mind. So it was a great honor to have that opportunity. I got to do a promo with him. I got to hit him in the back of the briefcase. I got to take the pile driver. You know, to me, I think that's in my top three favorite moments of my time doing this. And I could have ended it right there and been completely happy. He was very gracious, very kind. You know, I'm not ashamed to say that I got his autograph. You know, I got a picture with him. It's Jerry Lawler. I mean, if you're not a fan of his, then what are you doing? But, you know, and I give a big thank you to Will Riggs and New Millennium Wrestling for giving me that opportunity. I enjoyed it very much, and that's, you know, I'm so glad that it's on YouTube, so, you know, I could watch it occasionally, because that was a thrill, honestly.
All right, G, we got to find the link after this so we can put it up. What are some of the other, you know, who are the big names that you've had the privilege to work with that as somebody who's been around in the business for a while, that you mark out over having gotten to work with?
Oh, you're killing me. Now you're forcing me to name drop, and I promised I wouldn't do that.
It's okay. We give you permission.
The Jerry Lawler one is, I think, the only one that I worked with directly. And that's fine with me. I mean, I ring announced a show with Michael Shane, from TNA, Matt Bentley. You know, I got to work backstage for PCW when we used Christopher Daniels, Chris Sabin. We had Sabu multiple times. No Limit Pro Wrestling actually ran at the PCW arena. It was this rich kid. They only ran two or three shows, and he had Petey Williams and Christopher Daniels and Samoa Joe, Hernandez, Sanjay Dutt, Milano Collection AT. So I got to meet all those guys. We had, of course, Lance Hoyt, you know, one of my closest, you know, acquaintances in wrestling, a great man. I got to work with Heidenreich in Louisiana, and that guy is bigger in person than he is on TV. That man is massive. One of them, I almost forgot to mention, I'm glad I didn't, was Slick. You know, as a manager growing up, anytime I can meet someone who's been there and done that and worked with Hulk Hogan or whatever, that's
right.
You know, Slick was awesome. So I have to thank David Fuller for that opportunity, even though it was before my time, but I'm a collector of the Coliseum videos. I'm sure I'm forgetting some, Charlie Haas, another man. And, you know, I was able to get Charlie Haas to come to PCW in 2005. It was the day before Eddie Guerrero died, actually. I don't know why I remember that, but it's very vivid in my memory. And I got him to come to check out PCW, and nobody believed me that I got Charlie Haas to come to PCW, and there he came through the door, and I proved a lot of people wrong. So that was funny, and I got him to come to PCW. And he was actually on the PCW show on a Saturday night and then debuted, you know, returned on Raw that Monday. So that was very cool. So we got to have Charlie at PCW and help train a little bit. Those are just a few names that I've gotten to work with.
Wow.
I don't want to dog anybody, but we did one with Kevin Thorne, and it wasn't that great. He didn't care to do anything. I don't want to badmouth anybody, but he didn't care to do anything. But he was still a nice guy.
Don't be afraid of the name dropping. We had Johnny Gargano name drop too, which is ironic because that's us name dropping Johnny Gargano. So, gotta love that irony there. And I know that, so, you know, we know the Kyle Davis character, in kind of, I won't say in the ring, but kind of outside the ring, standing at ringside, interfering. What's the name that they used to call you in PCW, and how did that come about?
Which name are you referring to? And I'm not being facetious, because I've seen many of them.
I'm sorry. The well, I know that somebody called you Gomer Kyle once, and I was heckling you once with that in a show, and you turned around and said that was a very painful childhood memory. But I won't bring that up.
I did not know that was you. But I've been heckling.
I think my sister-in-law probably told me to yell that out.
Well, your sister-in-law can suck it, but that's okay. No, that's fine. I like her. She's cool. I went to school in sixth grade with her. But anyway.
Well, what about the bag of douche?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not happy with that one. But there, as with anything with me, there was a story. I mentioned my first, my 18th birthday randomly, I got a chance to announce, and a very short-lived, not even a gimmick, just an explanation for me being out there. I was the intern or whatever, getting a chance to be on the show or whatever, and we got to come up with a name for you. You're going to be Kyle Bagadouche. Like, what the hell? That's not even a name. That's an insult.
Wow.
But, it was my very first night. I was coming. I was wearing my event staff shirt, probably, and I was like, whatever, cool. I didn't care. And yeah, so that kind of stuck with me at PCW, but luckily it's died down now. But
there's still some old school PCW fans that come to MPX shows and still chant it. You can always tell who those guys are.
And I appreciate that for nothing else that they remember me, which is fine. I don't let it bother me that much. But I had so many names at PCW. The good old Kyle Davis was a classic. That's an original. I'm one of the very few to actually use my real name, so that's nice.
Right.
I joined a African American militant gang group, and I was called Five Dimes Davis, and Five Dimes, that was the real 50 Cent, and I thought that was pretty snappy, and that didn't last for very long.
That's
but
awesome,
I did that.
Though.
Thank you. I had the dreadlocks and all kinds of stuff. I didn't care, the FUBU outfit and all that, and then from there I was Duke Davis, the goodwill ambassador, the royal advisor, the Texan who pretended he was from Europe. And, I had the old jacket and I had really long hair at that point. So I think it worked out really well. And then I did Kyle Lewis, out in Marshall in East Texas, where I was Victor Tadlock's international sports agent. And we did that character that kind of coincided with our PCW Uncut, time back in 2006, 2007. So I've had many aliases, and not to mention more recently the illegitimate brother of Ben Wilde. So I always try to come up with different things for me to kind of reinvent myself.
So we know the Kyle Davis outside the ring, we know the Kyle Davis inside, but who is – so, you're kind of outside the ring most of the time anyway, but tell us a little bit about the Kyle Davis, I guess, kind of outside the arena. Tell us about – who you are in I guess, quote-unquote, real life.
Well, the fun thing is that what you see out in the show, it's me. I mean, I don't have an outlandish – I just mentioned all the characters that I had, but they're all part of my personality. I like – much like in social situations, I can adapt to pretty much anybody and even in real life, I can get along with anybody. If you don't get along with me, it's more likely your problem than mine. If anybody follows me on Twitter or has me on Facebook or whatever, they know that I'm a huge baseball fan. I'm watching the Texas Ranger game right now as we speak on mute. I can see it in my peripheral vision. Huge baseball fan. I like to do karaoke with my wrestling friends and the guys that I hang out with at the show, we're always together outside the show doing something, whether it's a camping trip or being on a boat or whatever, so. I stay busy outside the ring. I don't have much downtime. I don't sleep, really.
So, thoughts on the Rangers this year?
Love it. I'm not a bandwagon guy. I mean, I
oh,
started.
I know.
I was a Ranger fan, 96, 97, just for my age. I was 10 years old. And, we went through that terrible period, in the 2000s that were awful. And, but I love it. I love what the Rangers are doing right now. you know, I think we're going to go for a third straight year and hopefully win it this time. You know, but, we lose the game, so what? The way I look at it, baseball separated into 54 games. Every team's going to win 54 games. Every team's going to lose 54 games, and it's the other 54 games that matter. So one loss ain't going to kill me.
Very true. You know, I was talking to my wife last night about we were watching the game at the Chili's, and I was talking to her about how lucky these kids are growing up these days with the Rangers team that they have. Because I was looking at the 1990 team, because you know that's the team that I kind of grew up on. And
sure.
At shortstop now you have Elvis Andrews. Back then you had Jeff Houston at shortstop, you know, who batted a 240.
Sure.
You had Steve Buschel, who everybody loved, but still batted a 215.
Sure.
Your homer leader was Pete Incaviglia with 24.
That's your manager of the Grand Prairie Air Hogs right now, independent baseball.
Yes, guy was a great college player, great home run hitter, didn't do much else.
Your Julio Franco, all-star game.
You did have your Julio Franco, and you had Rafael Palmeiro in his B12 needle. You had... You did have a Harold Bain stint somewhere in there. Plus, and I was talking about how horrible the starting pitching was. Then I looked back at the starting pitching. You know, it was a pretty decent staff. You had Nolan Ryan, and you had Kevin Brown, and Charlie Hough. And
Kenny Rogers.
Yes. As a 1990, he was a closer, but he moved on to be one of the best starters the Rangers have ever had. And if you're ready to feel old, we did have Jamie Moyer.
Yeah, and I recently found out that I learned this from my good friend Cody Cox. Great man, by the way. Got to give him a shout out. Jamie Moyer has pitched to over 9% of every person who has ever played baseball. That is ridiculous.
That's insane.
That's ridiculous. And he looks like Tom Hanks. I just want to point that out. That's his doppelganger.
And I just the phenomenon of Jamie Moyer never ceases to amaze me.
Now, at this point in the show, I think we've lost most of our listeners because of baseball talk. I apologize for that if our ratings have gone down in the past 3 minutes.
No, not at all. I intended on going into the baseball talk because, you can always go into wrestling, but,
I always do.
So sometimes people want to hear a little bit about outside and, with Johnny Gargano, we talked about Walking Dead.
Oh, huge fan of The Walking Dead, absolutely.
What did you think of the most recent season?
Love it, and me and Danny Saint, here I go name dropping again, I'm sorry, good Lord. We always talk about The Walking Dead and the comic books. Now, I don't read the comic books, nor do I plan to until after the season's over, because I don't want any inclination. I mean, I learned that the zombies were in the barn a few episodes before because it was in the comics. I would have preferred not to know that. But
right.
Well, I'm sure the comics are great, and I'll read them afterwards. But I love the series. I'm excited about this prison that's coming up. I didn't really care for the farm that much, so I'm glad they're getting away from that. But I love it. I'm surprised that they killed off Shane so early. But according to the comics, he was gone earlier than that. But love it. I love the show.
What'd you say, G?
Oh, absolutely, I'm sure.
All right. And Kyle, this is your chance to plug away. I know that you have a YouTube channel where you share some of your own road stories. And, what else would you like to plug?
Well, we do have the I do have the YouTube video. I do my Kyle Davis vlog series, about 10 to 12 minute videos, in chronological order of just my experiences, my memories, good stuff like that. And occasionally I'll have a guest on, which I prefer doing that. It's kind of creepy me, just looking into a computer monitor and talking to nobody. So I recommend those. My YouTube video account, Partly Normal Activity. I'm a big Paranormal Activity fan, but Partly Normal Activity is my YouTube name, just all one big word. That'll take you to the Kyle Davis videos and also the Jerry Lawler videos. And if you type in Kyle Davis PCW on YouTube, you'll find hours of footage, just stupid things that I've done in the ring and stuff that I've enjoyed. Also on Twitter, Lance Hardwood 25. I figure if I ever get in the porn industry, that Lance Hardwood is a winning name there.
wow.
So that's the meaning behind that.
That is awesome.
And Lance is my middle name, so I have the right to it. And, yeah, that's really it for the plugging. I mean, you're not really going to find much of interest on Facebook, but the Twitter is where it's at for my real thoughts.
Yeah,
and don't for me on FormSpring. I will not be on FormSpring. I guarantee it. I know you commented earlier on my Facebook, but the worst thing in the world for me is someone who has the ability to ask me questions under an anonymous name. So I'm not even going to give people the privilege.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. there's some trolls in the Texas wrestling scene.
God bless. Spring. Somebody, you know, it's entertainment for all of us. So God bless.
Yeah. So, of course, we've got MPX coming up tonight, but I know it's probably going to be a little too late to plug that since we're going to put this up probably Sunday and Monday. But
it's never too late to plug MPX. I mean, we're doing it every 2 weeks.
Almost. Right, exactly. the big show's coming up April 28th. Some of the matches will probably be announced, but I know one of the big ones is going to be champion Frankie Fisher going up against William Aaron Sebastian Patterson, also known as Wasp. Yes. Or is Hino going by his real name? Or
yeah, I mean, we're starting to leak it out a little bit. I mean, the real personalities are starting to bleed out.
Okay. And then I believe Payday is going to be taking on Kenny Steele for the Prospects Champion with a certain somebody in his corner.
Yes, that's. I'm very interested to see how that unfolds.
I am too. And then, if you are wanting more information on Metroplex Wrestling, it's Twitter at MPX Wrestling. You can also find Metroplex Wrestling on Facebook and www.metroplexwrestling.com.
Absolutely. And also, don't forget that little date on our calendar, May 26th. That is a very big day for the MPX world.
Yes. That is when Brian Kendrick is coming to town. Yeah. So
And Brian Kendrick actually started, in NWA Southwest. He was training here a little bit in North Richland Hill. So he's very familiar with the area. I've spoken with him personally, not to name drop, but he's very excited to come. So it's going to be a big day. We're pre-selling autographed tickets, before the show starts. So it's going to be a big day for us.
All right. Well, Kyle, we'd very much like to thank you for taking a few hours or a few minutes out of your day to spend with us, and especially during the Rangers game. And for G, that's like spending time during hockey season. Thank you very much, and we appreciate your time.
Yay, thank you very much. You might not know this, but I like talking. So anytime you need to fill a space, you just let me know. But I'm looking forward to seeing everybody out at MPX. And thank you to all the fans. Without the fans, I know it's cliche, but without the fans, there is no MPX. So thank everybody for your support. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, guys.